Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Harahuck, along with you at the alternative station, Salt City Radio. Drew Duffney hanging out with us as well. A lot of stuff to get to today. We got to head off with the, we now know who the Lions are going to be playing
Tampa.
Sunday afternoon. Tampa pulling off, I don't know if it's necessarily an upset, because I'm just convinced that Philly wasn't trying last night at all.
Well, we talked about it. They had a good,
The first Eagles, 11 games of the season, they went 10-1.
Two-thirds of the season they went, and then I don't know what happened.
That's what happened.
I don't know if Samson cut his hair or what, but yeah, they looked
Bluto didn't have his pencil in his ear or whatever.
They
his man bun?
His man
that too.
They did not look good down the stretch, and they cashed out early. So we're taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Luckily, Tom Brady's not there anymore. That'll help.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's been playing decent this year, but I do have the odds for this game on Sunday. You want to know?
I already know, but you go ahead. Unless they've changed in the last 8 hours.
Yeah, the Lions are favored by 6.5.
Yeah, for sure.
Not bad.
For sure. That's what, in the message I sent you guys, I'm telling you at the beginning of the year, I said Lions to the Super Bowl, and you guys didn't tell me I was out of my mind. You said.
We just thought it.
Yeah, no, you're
like,
just
oh,
said,
bless his heart.
Well, I don't know about that, I think was what everyone said. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that with a bit of sarcasm. I'm telling you, we got a chance.
There is a chance. Yeah. There's a better chance
so
that
you're
we had.
There's a chance.
There was a better chance that we had back in September.
Go ahead. Did you guys see the story? Everyone saw the picture of the kid that was crying when they won?
I saw a grown man crying.
Well, yeah, he's 24. He's 24.
Yeah.
Did you see it, Sean?
No.
So tears just rolling down this kid's eyes, right? Or rolling down his face, and he's like 24. I say, kid, man, big gold chain on, you know, big dude. Come to find out, his dad was a season ticket holder at the Silverdome.
Mm.
They saw the last game played at the Silverdome.
Uh-huh.
His dad was an iron worker who helped build Ford Field.
Okay.
Then in 2004, when this kid was 14, his dad ended up dying. And he was buried in his Lions leather jacket.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I'm saying? So this family is like bleeding Lions.
Wow.
So to kind of see that kind of playoff action, at 24, because he didn't go to all of the games. He doesn't have season tickets.
No.
His brother surprised him and said, hey, guess what? I got tickets to the playoffs. We're bringing Ma, too.
Oh, wow.
And so the whole family was there to see it. So that's why, he, of course,
they dug up Dad. I was like, what is that smell?
That's right. It's just the floors here.
Just three beers, so he's good.
Yeah.
Good luck getting tickets to this one, though. Like, I've already seen them. At the cheapest I've seen are about $600 for this Sunday's game.
Do you know how much the last playoff tickets were for the Silverdome?
No, how much, Drew?
$30. They were $28.50 with a $1.50 service fee.
Are you talking about that back at 92?
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
And back then, they're like, I'm not paying more than $12 for the Lions. I paid $100 to see Kiss 5 rows back on New Year's Eve in 1998. I'm like, I will never pay that much for anything again. Little I know, that's like the minimum.
Right?
Those are no. If you're getting it for that cheap, if you feel like you're getting a deal.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of unfortunately where the prices are at now, which means I also won't be going to the game on Sunday. Because I thought about it for a brief minute, then I saw what the tickets price were going for. I'm like, no, we're not doing this.
No, we're not doing that. Because it's $600 minimum. And then, I'm sorry, they're saying that all the parking places are all sold out.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's no liquor in town. Did you see the shelves? I mocked it and sent a picture to my brother because it showed empty shelves.
Yeah.
Except for there was like two bottles of Manischewitz and 2 half gallons of Old Crow.
Oh, well, then we're set.
That's right. All the rest of the liquor was completely gone.
It's all right, guys. They saw Fleischmann's. We're good.
It's got dust on it. Wow, from 1992. That's poetic.
The irony there, really.
We're going to have a bunch of homeless Lions fans. Yeah. Did you guys see that all the merchandise that wasn't sanctioned by the NFL?
For every event.
It was all licensed. They said they harvested, I'm talking millions, like $5 million worth of merchandise from all these like backdoor vendors.
That
were selling non-licensed, and they're giving it all to the homeless, all to the needy. So you're
I don't have a place to sleep. I think I'm going to have to lose my left foot due to frostbite. But hey, thanks for this jersey.
That's right. I got a Honolulu blue beanie.
Goff spelled G-U-F-F-E. Appreciate it.
Put an extra O in there. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Goof. Go Lions, right, bud? All right, anyway, we're out of here. Man, it's cold as heck out of here. I don't know how you guys do it. Bye. Drive off.
Came straight from Wish.com. It's a men's double XL that fits a 14-year-old girl.
They didn't actually finish sewing it.
Oh, because that happened to me. I made the mistake of going some cheap site to get a Seattle Kraken jersey, and it didn't come sewn together. It was a poncho.
Came with a V-back instead of a V-neck.
It was everywhere. Luckily, somebody I know knows what they're doing and sewed it all together. But yeah, anyway, do we want to take a break or are we going to keep going with this?
Oh, let's go ahead. We'll have plenty of time to get to this, to get to Lions talk and whatever else between now and 6 o'clock. Yeah, it is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Queens of the Stone Age, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Drew Duffney. And we have to, we did kind of skip over this a little bit yesterday when we were talking about the weekend that was in professional football. Buffalo. So that game got pushed back to Monday because they got like 3 feet of snow dumped on them. The Bills actually put out a call to get people to help shovel out the stadium for $20 an hour. And you say apparently they were giving away tickets?
Well, yeah. So what they did, and we talked about this last year, and I wanted to touch on it on Friday, but obviously I was driving on a torrential snowstorm because you guys were talking about the Bills. Like, I was going sideways when we talked.
Yeah.
And
did you die?
No, I didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. That's why. But anyway.
We bleeped out your bad words. That's fine.
Yeah. So last year, they were telling kids they were going to pay them like $8 an hour. I'm like, who works for $8 an hour anymore, right?
Kids were like, F you.
Yeah, and I
this
thought,
totally isn't worth my time.
Well, we talked about this, and I've never heard about any other stadium doing this. So then this year came around, and you just cannot believe what you see on Facebook anymore. I don't really care who you are between AI and all the people that just mock stuff up just to
troll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't believe it. A lot of those. So I saw a picture from one of my exes, and she had shared it from somebody else that said, the fans have to shovel their own seats out at Bills Stadium. And I'm like, no way. What are you talking about? Well, that game, I didn't have the pay-per-view or whatever you got to get to watch it. All them streamer, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game. That was KC-Miami. Where they had to dig out the, where they had to, or where they weren't on, where they were on Peacock or whatever.
Yeah, there was streaming. Yeah.
The Bills also, though, I don't even have cable, right? And so the CBS that I had, it was only CBS News. The actual NFL game itself was blacked out. If I logged in with a cable service, I would have been fine.
Okay.
Oh, lame.
Yeah, it was horrible. So
why is Buffalo, with as much snowfall as they get, historically get, why do they have a stadium with no dome on it?
Well, even if, why do they not have a snow maintenance company? It's the NFL.
Yeah.
They make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, you can't retain that many people for something like this. Like, can you imagine how big of a job that is to do? Like, you need like hundreds, maybe thousands of people to get that all. It's not like you're just maintaining the grass or whatever at the stadium. Like, that's a massive undertaking.
Well, then put in heated floors,
heated seats, heated everything.
Yeah,
put a dome up.
Yeah. You know,
they don't like, they like having it open air, though. They feel like that gives them an advantage.
They can give it a retractable dome.
Yeah. Ask the quarterbacks that played at Ford Field with natural turf over the weekend, since both of them tripped over their own feet.
That wasn't because of the artificial turf. No.
That's right.
No, they just...
No, but yeah, so they ended up, they couldn't get anybody to come in for $20 an hour, so they gave away tickets. They said, okay.
Quite frankly, the tickets are probably worth more than the $20 an hour.
Yeah, that's what they said. Apparently they were $80. Tickets were $80 for the tickets they got. And so they shoveled for 4 hours to...
And they got tickets. Four people died.
Yeah.
So geriatric person tried to shovel. I've seen a Bills play.
But they didn't have terrible and
timing. Wheel him off.
They just cremated him right there by throwing him through a flaming table. So, you know, kind of, it worked out.
Today in sports history, Buffalo sports history. We need to play that again. We need to find that. Well, I don't know if Drew's ever heard it.
I'll get that up in the next break. Don't worry.
Yeah. Talking about cremation, did you guys know that Ash Wednesday falls on Valentine's Day this year?
No, because I'm not Catholic, so I don't pay attention to these things.
He doesn't believe in Saint Valentine either.
Oh,
Saint
okay.
Valentine. He doesn't.
I don't believe in any saints. That's not.
Yeah, I mean, if he's
he doesn't believe in Saint Pauli Street. He doesn't believe.
I absolutely don't believe in Saint Pauli Street, and I've seen Saint Pauli Street.
He doesn't even like Saint Bernard's.
That's right. The only reason they like St. Patrick's Day is it's like, you know, drink free day.
Yeah, he doesn't even.
It's true.
He says the snake holiday. He roots for the snakes.
That's right.
I'm just saying, maybe the snake.
He's not wearing any green. He's just wearing a bunch of snakes. Ha ha. Yeah, we're back.
I'm just saying, the snakes might have had the right idea.
Snakes weren't bothering anybody.
The snakes weren't all bad, okay?
Snakes were in somebody's neighborhood, but they weren't bothering anybody. What's the problem? He doesn't like the New Orleans Saints. He
yeah.
I did root for the Saints for that one day that we were down in New Orleans, because I feel like it would have just been a party foul to root against the home team while we were on vacation.
Well,
also, they were playing the Bears.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it'll be a cold day in hell before I root for Chicago to win anything ever.
Yes, exactly.
It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. I don't know where we go from that. Stick around.
The year was 1807. Buffalo, New York. Another record fall of 60 feet of snow. To the point where people started living in it in the high rise. I remember it like it was yesterday. We lived at the top floor of the 60-foot snowbank. It was the best time ever. Until somebody lit up a furnace and melted it to the ground. People in Buffalo were having a hard time getting warm. Somewhere, a guy by the name of Buster Smith lit up a table on fire. I had had enough. I was cold. And the only wood I had was my table. Buster Smith, 1807. And it was at that time, Jebediah, give him a name here.
Jebediah Shop
decided, he says, well, I needed some warmth. And I see Buster lit up his brand new table, and I was going to go to it. But then me and Buster start tangling around, and I jumped through the table. Jebediah, 1807. And so began a great tradition in Buffalo sports history. For Buffalo sports history, I'm Adam Harahuck.
I guess we should apologize to Shop of the Bulldog and Jebediah's Shop.
I can't believe I couldn't think of a better last name than Shop.
Well, that's they have a long storied history in Buffalo sports.
Jebediah Robinson.
Them too. Jesus. and that was your daily moment in Buffalo sports history. And that's pretty much it. That's all of it.
Quit laughing, Toronto. You're next.
Tomorrow, failure and disappointment for the next 75 years.
Yeah. Even your baseball team couldn't get a hit off JV.
Hey, your hockey team hasn't won a Stanley Cup since there were only five other teams in the league.
Yeah. As soon as they added like 12 more teams, you're like, oh, that's way too many.
Yeah, like 14. Like, oh my God, what do we do? Greta Van Fleet at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. There's Drew Duffney. And we have to also. There is another game going on in the NFC that isn't the Lions and the Bucks this Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Lions going to the Super Bowl, and it looks better than it ever has, but there's one hurdle still, and that is the 49ers.
Come on. I can't believe I'm about to say the words that are about to come out of my mouth, Adam.
You can circumvent it. You can circumvent it. Just say, I hope 49ers don't win.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, because there's only one team in the NFC that I fear. The only thing we have to fear, Adam, is the San Francisco 49ers.
And Brock Purdy. If for some reason Packers beat the Niners, then the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, because the Lions will be able to steam right through Green Bay. They will not be able to. I don't think they'd be able to do it against the Niners.
And that one would be, I believe, at home as well at Ford Field.
It would.
So you would once again get a home game against Green Bay, which, yes, I know what happened on Thanksgiving.
Shut up. It was Thanksgiving. They always lose on Thanksgiving.
They usually do. And, you know, to beat them again, yeah, I don't see it happening.
Oh, I mean, Green Bay is a young team. They're tenacious. Jordan Love is going to be a good quarterback, but he's not going to be. The Lions would be too much for him. So they would be. They would be playing at home against Green Bay, and then they would be playing in Las Vegas. But
I guess more than likely the Ravens.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. But yeah,
well,
first of that.
Well, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Justin Tucker sets an NFL record against us? Oh, wait. About that. That was a thing that happened, wasn't it?
Yeah. We won't talk about that. But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and this Niners, year's matchup, I mean, did not go well either.
No, yeah, no.
But we'll talk about that even less.
Yeah. But Brock Purdy, let's see what he does against the Pack. They're on Sunday, right, as well?
Yeah, it's not, Saturday game? Quite frankly, it's not Brock Purdy I worry about on that team. I mean, he's good. He's good enough to do what they need to do. It's Kittle I worry about. It's Christian McCaffrey that I worry about, because that dude's just going to gash that defense all day long. And yes, that is also a – no, that is a Saturday game.
Saturday?
They're playing Saturday night at 8:15. Texans-Ravens during the afternoon, late afternoon on Saturday, 4:30. Ravens-Niners – or Packers-Niners after that. Bucks-Lions Sunday at 3. Chiefs-Bills Sunday night at 6:30.
What's the odds on the Texans-Ravens game?
Baltimore's favored by about a million.
And a half.
Yeah. By nine, though.
So Drew and I, on Saturday, we're going to keep one eye on that Packers-Niners game.
San Fran's favored by even more. They are 9.5-point favorites. Packers have to go to San Fran and win. Yeah, I am hopeful, but I'm not getting my hopes up too much.
I think it's going to be a better game all the way around than having them go to Lambeau Field tomorrow. On Saturday, that's going to be cold.
Well, yeah. Well, there was never any danger of that happening. San Fran's the number one team in the NFC.
Right.
They've got home field throughout.
Right.
And I don't like your odds as well there, but. In San Fran? No. I want to believe. I so want to believe in this, Adam. You have no idea how much I want this upset to happen. And I have never rooted for Green Bay to win anything in my life ever. Like, I'll go to hell before ever rooting for the Packers in any other circumstance.
You want the Pack to win, but it's 2-0, and you want Jordan Love to go all that injury.
Basically.
Okay.
What if we just manifest that both teams get a horrible case of jock itch?
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, that works too.
And then they have to just forfeit.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever
scratching
works.
Scratching themselves. Well, the camera's got to stay above the waistline because they can't show that. Kids are watching. You
yeah,
know?
It's like being in the locker room. Eyes up.
Don't let your eyes wander there, boy.
Jesus. Oh, here is Ocean Alley. It's confidence. Always giving you the best drive. First at Solid State Radio. Coldplay at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Drew Duffney. And joining us, America's favorite, possibly the world's favorite Lapeer Main Street manager, James Tiberius Ault. Jimothy, what's the good word?
I think New York is trying to give us a run for their money.
Where is Lapeer, New York again?
It's in New York.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah. That's as far as I've got. I don't know. I think it's like the mid state.
Oh, I figure maybe it'd be somewhere by Buffalo. Like, do they throw themselves through flaming folding tables in Lapeer, New York? Like, these are the questions I need answers to.
That's a long standing tradition in Buffalo sports, is launching yourself through a flaming table.
Yeah, as we played in the bit a little while ago here, the origin of the
yes.
table.
Yes.
Jumping through.
In 1906.
Now, you had a theory there, Jimothy, about...
So, yeah, you were talking about hoping that Green Bay wins this weekend.
Yes. Because I think we can beat them.
Right. Well, I tell you, I would love nothing more than to beat Green Bay. But Green Bay, the way they've been playing, really worries me as far as an opponent goes.
They have turned it up.
Yeah. And, like, I look at this, I'm like, mean, if we make it to that round of the playoffs, like, kudos to the Lions. That's far exceeds, I think, most expectations, right?
Title game. I mean, the NFC title game is certainly more than a lot of people expect.
Yeah, exactly, right? But if you lose to Green Bay in the title game, Green Bay fans are just going to be so annoying.
More so than now?
Yeah. They're going to up it. Like, you know, a bar that you didn't think could be upped, they're going to up.
Yep.
You know, and versus San Francisco fans, like, if you lose to San Francisco, you know what? You weren't expected to make it this far, so great job, excellent season, way to go. But if you lose to Green Bay...
But here's the question, though. Yeah. I mean, you can make a strong argument that Green Bay, at that point, I mean, they're just that good. But also, how many Packers fans are you really running into on a daily basis, Jim?
That's fair. I just have this
visual of being out ice fishing. Yeah. And a Packers fan running over going, here, let me clean out your hole for you. We know you don't know how to finish the job. Like, I feel like that's what's coming.
Andrew just throw his pole down. Get his gun. I'm out of here.
But I feel like you'd have to, like, encounter a Packers fan in the Lower Peninsula first. And I feel like that's not a thing that exists down here.
Yeah, but unfortunately, with the state of the internet, you'd have the Green Bay trolls, because they've got nothing to do. They're snowed in. Yeah. They're just ragging on all of us.
All they have to do is really just sit and drink at their local bar. I mean, there's more bars than people in Wisconsin. Like, there's the bar to person ratio is about a 1-1 thing.
I mean, everybody has their own bar. Somebody else walks in and it just becomes like two house cats fighting.
This bar ain't big enough for the both of us. And I've seen some of the bars over there. It might not be.
Pull tabs and squeaky cheese.
Everybody gets a bar in Wisconsin. I kind of want to move to Wisconsin. You get a bar, I get a bar.
The problem is, like, the bar you get when you just move to Wisconsin is probably, it's that one, I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of the Plywood Palace in, I'm trying to remember the name of the little, you know, basically four corners there. Like, this building literally is put together from just literal pieces of plywood, this thing. Moqua, I believe it is. Not even making that up.
So you register with the DMV or the Secretary of State or something like that. Okay, here's your license plate, and here's your license, and here's your bar.
this is the bar. Like, I'm showing these guys. Like, this thing is literally just this rickety shack that looks like a slight breeze would blow it over.
I think I played a gig there.
Looks like the back door.
You probably have.
I still paid better than the fire station.
But, like, that's the quality of bar you get. Like, this thing, like, it doesn't even have indoor, like, doesn't have bathrooms. I'm pretty sure it legitimately has outhouses.
Got a hole out back.
Yeah. Not even kidding you. So don't get too excited about that new real estate of yours there, James.
We'd get Charlie Barron's trolling us.
Who's Charlie Barron?
He's the spinoff,
like,
of
the super Midwest like comedian. He was also a diehard Packers fan, the most Midwestern sounding guy you ever met in your life.
Yeah. Oh golly.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't follow him. I think his stuff's really, really funny, but it's like super funny. So you'd have to like enjoy redneck humor.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
Gotcha.
It is happy hour itself. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna reiterate with Jim that's like, yeah, you would he is correct that if we have to face Green Bay and lose, as opposed to losing to 49ers who go on and possibly win the Super Bowl, that has a little bit more of a
true
sting.
Counterpoint to that, Green Bay hasn't got the internet yet, so I think we're safe. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Jed at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And then Drew Duffy hanging out with us as well. Ready to do some judging?
Yes.
Let's do a little bit of Am I the A-Hole then, shall we?
Yes.
There's one thing we excel at on this show. It's judging people. Like, we're really good at it, I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
So, well, I've got one for you right off the jump. Am I the A-Hole for ruining Christmas and being upset the only gifts I got for my family were joke gifts? Some background. My family likes to play pranks with Christmas and birthday gifts. It's nothing new. I, as well as my five siblings, have all been pranked on our birthdays and on Christmas, and usually it's like one or two gifts. This Christmas, though, I was the only person to get all joke gifts. For example, I unwrapped a MacBook for my brother, but when I opened it, it was just chocolate, which I don't eat, so I gave it away. And the MacBook was actually given to my sister inside a bag she wanted. Another gift was what I thought was a book I put on my Christmas list. It was actually just a book cover put on a dictionary. When I asked my mom about the book, she told me she gave that to my sister-in-law. This went on with each present my siblings or parents had given me. AirPods was just a charger block, adapter, gift cards were used and had $0 balance, a card with Monopoly money, totaling to about 12 joke gifts. I realized I went out of my way to get everyone something they wanted or would like, but didn't get anything. At this point, I was bummed, so I went to the living room to watch TV with my boyfriend. At dinner, they were all talking about how much they loved their gifts, and when my dad asked why I hadn't said anything about mine, I said, well, there wasn't much to say. Everyone but my boyfriend laughed, and my mom said it was no big deal, as everyone else also got some joke gifts. I told her every gift I got was a joke gift, and that the ones they got were followed by the real one. My dad told me I need to relax, as I'm making a big deal about it, and I'd have next Christmas to get the stuff on my list. Not wanting to go back and forth, I told my boyfriend I wanted to leave, and we could spend the rest of Christmas break with his family, then go home. My family got mad and told me not to go, and to just stay, because it wasn't serious. I left and put my phone on Do Not Disturb during the drive. By the time we got to boyfriend's parents' house, I had several missed calls and texts from them, calling me names like ungrateful, sensitive, and childish. They said I ruined Christmas and made my parents upset because I left. The next day, I exchanged open gifts with my boyfriend and his family. I wanted the gifts I got and was the book I wanted, the book my mom pretended to gift me. I posted it on my Instagram story, and not even a minute after posting it, my sister sent a screenshot of my story to the family group chat, and they basically got mad at me for leaving and telling me I ruined Christmas over some presents. They told me I owe everyone, especially my parents, an apology because my mom spent New Year's sad because of my actions. Am I the a-hole?
Oh, man.
I need more information on this because I find it extremely hard to believe that everyone got this individual a joke gift and that there was no history behind it.
Maybe this person is, for the other 364 days a year, a complete a-hole to where they're...
Yeah. Like, we're going to fix you this year.
Yeah. Something like that.
Or maybe last year they got everyone, this individual got everyone. Is it a he or a she?
She,
yeah.
Okay. Maybe she got them all prank gifts last year, you know, and so they were just reciprocating this year.
Oh, that would make total sense right there.
We went through that this year with my brothers. The whole family's grown. Mm-hmm. You know, the youngest is 12, and that's a great-grandchild of my mother. And so my oldest brother called me and said, are we exchanging gifts this year or not? He says, sometimes, you know, Joe comes with lottery tickets. He says, you always make candy every year. He says, but, you know, we just want to know out in the open. And I called Joe. I said, hey, what are we doing? So it just ended up being a lottery ticket exchange. We just planned on buying everybody $10 worth of lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. And we just all exchanged them. And literally, I bet there wasn't $40 won amongst... All of, you know,
that is one thing. It's like I had to like stop my mom on doing scratch offs because nobody ever wins.
Yeah, it was like you're talking like $60 to $80 with lottery tickets, and there was hardly any winnings.
Take that money and put it towards, even like people say, oh, scented candles are such a stupid. I love scented candles. I think that'd be great.
See, I have no use for scented candles. I mean, Rachel has enough of them to, you know. To set a small army ablaze,
right,
but like,
right, yeah,
she does do scratch offs in our air stockings because she insists we do the stocking thing.
Yeah,
but you know, it's those and then a bunch of like candy and other stuff that we actually wanted, sure. Like the mini airplane bottles of booze.
Yeah, because I mean, hypothetically speaking, like you say, you all do scratch offs and one person wins like $10,000. Everybody be like, you should split that. No.
That's not how this works. That was a gift. Like, yeah,
we would. None of us would be that way. We've all agreed. Like, even if you know whatever, but in this case, I mean, the farthest I've ever gone on a prank is doing the old like. Getting somebody a gift card and wrapping it in a box like that an ottoman came in.
Yeah.
You know, and you wrap, you know, 10 boxes, so you have to open up 10 boxes and end up with a little gift card
but
at the
end. But at the very end, there's like no gift at all. I mean, that's cruel.
Yeah.
That's I mean, not to say that Christmas should be all about gifts, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you don't want somebody walking away feeling bad. And not only did she feel bad, she felt bad like 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And
got literal nothing. Like, yeah. It was all just gag gifts and things. And, like, like the fact, like, not only did you not get gifts, like, you were bought, like, they gave you, like, the boxes for the gift Oh, we gave the gift to someone else.
Yeah, the gift was actually went to somebody else.
And I did think that was kind of funny.
That's just garbage. That's just
it sounds like that person is treated like Meg from Family Guy.
Kind of, yeah, like the real life version of that.
Yeah, it was like, and you know what? Probably did the same thing that most people would say. You know what? Deuces, I'm out.
I mean, I feel like that's what I do in that situation. Yeah. And now they're trying to guilt her. Oh, you ruined Christmas because we all decided collectively to play this hilarious joke on you, and you didn't think it's as funny as we did. You're a terrible... Yeah, you're actually the terrible person
here. Around the table. I mean, first of all, they can't read the room where she's, like, off with her boyfriend watching TV, and they're all around the table. Oh, this is great. Oh, what about you way over there in the not associating with us land?
Like, to rub it in, that's just beyond the pale, man.
Gift? Oh, my favorite gift was the book cover of the book I actually wanted, which was actually a dictionary. I don't know what you guys were saying about that, but hey, thanks a lot, a-holes.
Yeah, because Google doesn't have its own dictionary.
Here, let me, exactly. Let me go through the dictionary of the book I really want. Oh, you troglodytes. Okay.
Yeah.
Entirely fair.
And for Dad,
that's the nicest, one of the nicer things you could probably call him, honestly. Yeah.
For Dad to say, well, you can get all the gifts that you wanted next Christmas.
Not next Christmas, yeah.
What?
Yeah, but we're just going to make you feel like a total piece of crap this year. That's okay with you.
Dad knew what was going on. I was like, basically it was like, we'll make it up to you next year.
Yeah, don't worry. My boyfriend's family will take good care of me.
Yeah.
Don't worry. His family actually loves me.
And my boyfriend, he's the one I call Daddy now.
See ya.
Deuces.
Just light that bridge aflame and keep driving.
Love it. I'm entirely good with that. Like, at that point, you knew damn well what you were doing to yourself. That's absolute trash, and you've done nothing wrong here. And honestly, I like the pettiness of, okay, posting the gift that you actually wanted that you got from the family that loves you on Instagram.
Yes, exactly.
And the fact that they all just started freaking out, like, oh, you ruined Mom's Christmas because you didn't think our prank was funny.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't come out to New Year's? Mom wanted a cattle prod at midnight.
Yeah, like, no, that's just so bad. Like, I at that point, I'm sorry, I'm going no contact with the family.
Well, but let's be fair, that is your go-to for every situation.
But to be fair, it's also right 99% of the time.
I'm with
is absolutely the right answer. Just go no contact with these people. They don't like you. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They thought that you were going to be the...
With Sean, it's like, dear advice-giving person, my birthday is on the 12th, and my mom called me on the 13th. What should I do? And Sean's be like, to hell!
That's right.
Write her off. Block her number. Move. Don't tell her where you moved to.
Well, I mean, yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying.
Go to her house, cut down her mailbox so she can't mail you anything.
I think that's fair. I mean, I'm sorry that you apparently think that people should just accept whatever BS is thrown at them by the people that claim that they love them, but, you know, then there's the rest of us who are, all right, I've given you 20 times to, you know, prove you're not an a-hole. You're like, let's give him another chance. You know, everyone deserves a 263rd chance, Adam Harahawk.
That's why I'm still at Solid State Radio.
Clearly, because anyone else would have fired you by now, but...
Touché.
I have a real-life version of Am I the A-Hole?
Let's do it next, then.
All right. We got a real-life one. Oh,
we'll unpack that.
All the fake ones we've been coming...
All these that we've just been making up, apparently.
Well, no, but I mean, this was me.
Oh, okay. All
I right. want to know if I'm the A-Hole.
Oh, God.
I can already tell you are, but we'll judge for certain after Panic at the Disco at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Our Lady Peace at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's happening? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Campbell. Drew Duffney hanging out as well. And since we're doing so good at this judgment thing, because, I mean, that's what we do best on happy hour, apparently Drew decided he wanted to throw himself to the wolves and subject himself to a round of Am I the A-Hole? You wanted us to exude judgment upon you, and I am willing to do this because I'll judge anybody at any time. Drew, you have the floor.
Well, here's the thing. I went into January with like 10 days of the dry January because every time I had a drink, I felt guilty about this story.
Okay.
Wow. So, yeah. This is some serious stuff, apparently. It made Drew quit drinking.
So we're
That's how serious it is.
We're at my uncle's funeral. Actually, we're at the wake. And the whole family's there, and everybody's
talking.
Two-drink
minimum?
Yeah.
You know. Two-drink minimum? I feel like it's like a two-fifth minimum.
Can I tell you, was that the Eagles Club?
Uh-huh. So it's definitely a two-fifth minimum.
Yeah. I mean, there were shots before the food was being served.
Well, that goes without saying in a Duffney family gathering, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So, a distant, still a first cousin, but just kind of estranged from the family. But generations later in life, it has become closer to the family because realizes that our family is getting smaller and smaller by the years.
Yep.
And the first thing he says, you know, it's my cousin Luke, and he says, I'm sorry I didn't make Uncle Tony's funeral, meaning my dad.
Yeah.
And my mom's sitting there, and she goes, no big deal. She goes, Luke, we didn't even think about it. She goes, Katie was there, and which is his sister, and there was representation from that branch of the family.
Right.
And that's kind of the belief that, okay, that someone, as long as someone from that side of the family shows up, then you're good. Right?
Right.
He says, my mother-in-law broke her neck the day before.
Oh, my.
And everybody had that same reaction. I'm eating my corned beef and drinking my beer, and I hear she, if you remember, the water level was lower that particular year because we had a drought late in the summer. And she was going down to the pontoon for a pontoon ride and had too much to drink and stumbled and fell headfirst into the lake.
Oh,
and
my
she
God.
Was in muck up to her ears. Okay. Imagine being stuck in the mud up to your ears headfirst. Okay. You're talking like 4 inches of muck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fire department had to come remove her. They were worried about her net. Like she was literally. It wasn't like they pulled her out and drug her to shore. They let her sit there in the muck until the fire department got there. Because they were worried if they pulled her out that she was going to break her neck.
Right.
Which she did break her neck. No permanent injuries. She just broke like a couple of C-spine, you know, a couple of vertebrae.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No permanent injuries. No long-lasting brain damage. No closed head injury. She's fine as frog hair. You know, and they attributed that to the fact that she was a little bit loose because she had a little bit to drink.
Yeah.
Once I found out that she was fine and we heard the story and everybody continued eating and whatever else, he's sitting right across from me. And I looked up and I said, did you get pictures? My whole family said, Drew. My brother hits me on the leg and everybody just turned and looked at me mortified. And he was eating them beef tips and noodles, and he looked up, and he slurped his noodle, and with a straight face and a raised eyebrow, he goes, I would have, but I was on my way home from work. But when we were in the hospital, my wife had to use an emery board to dig the muck out of her ears because the Q-tips kept breaking.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So, clearly, he was on the same track as I was.
Here's my aunt playing her best ostrich impression.
So the fact that I brought it up in that manner, because trust me, if my mother-in-law was head first in 4.5 inches of muck for a prolonged period of time, I would have pictures. Unless she had a skirt on or something. You know what I'm saying? So... am I the a-hole for saying that?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, the idea that, you know, somebody is obviously in pain. There is obviously injury because they knew that she broke her neck, so they didn't pull her out of it. So she's probably like, I felt something snap in my neck. I have a broken neck. Don't remove me. I smell a lot of seaweed. stuff like that. And so the paramedics are coming in, and they're, like, digging her out. So, I mean, at that point, we're like, jeez.
No, I don't mean, like, once she got out. I mean when she was ankles in the air. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been the picture I wanted.
Like she looked like a lawn dart. Like, what happened? Did the road runner, like, paint a tunnel in there?
Is that the QAnon hole?
Well, the mother-in-laws are sprouted early this year. So, yes, you are the a-hole, but we understand it.
I mean, he laughed. Like, it was his mother-in-law, and he laughed, and he says, I would have, but I mean, he agreed. He was going to get pictures. But, yeah, no, okay, well, I guess I'm wrong. I did feel bad later. I mean, I didn't at that moment. I looked at everybody else. I'm like, he's laughing. What? You know, I got to start.
I mean, yeah, in a technical, objective sense, yeah, a-hole, absolutely. But I'm willing to allow for the fact that, yeah, he laughed at it, too, and he had a comeback at the ready. So, I mean, really, I feel like it cancels out.
Right, yeah.
The memory board to get dirt out of it. Wow, that's...
Yeah, the Q-tips kept breaking. They could not use Q-tips in the hospital because the muck had hardened, obviously. I mean, you're out of the...
There. She probably was in there for about a couple hours.
Yeah. Right, you know, yeah, yeah.
Until the ambulance people could, like, finish up their dinner and, you know, get out there. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe that wasn't as funny as the ones that we research and read about. But
no, we pushed it up, though.
That was my experience from legitimately like 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Thank you for letting us exert judgment upon you.
So
as
that
always.
kept you like that, like lurched you into a dry January for a little bit because you're like,
I felt so bad about it.
I couldn't talk to you. I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. Who do you tell that story to besides you guys?
I go to Father John.
Right. Yeah.
He'd be like, get out.
Right. You know, he probably would. You like I can't even with you, me boy.
I feel so
like you got him speaking millennial. All of a sudden. How bad it is. He can't even. it's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to, is it tax fraud time tonight, Adam? Is that what happened at 6 o'clock?
Yeah. Oh, getting close, but it's going to be dance moves that the ballet teachers don't want you to know about.
And you can trust Adam on this because they're ballet moves that he, I don't think, could do without putting himself into it.
You're going to love it.
He took lessons from Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I bet he did. That explains why he don't move so well these days. Stick around a full hour of the best local original music the state has to offer.
Two for Tuesday.
Yeah, two for Tuesday. Coming up on Sessions. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.